where we're headed this morning. It's good to be in God's house this morning. Missed being in service last Sunday morning. We're here this morning. Amen. I'm not going to preach twice as long because I didn't preach last Sunday, because I did that Thursday night. Amen. So those that didn't make it Thursday night, you can breathe a sigh of relief, because I'm not going to do a double barrel shotgun at you this morning. I'm just going to do the single barrel, but that's sometimes long enough. Amen. Praise the Lord. I've never been known for a short-winded preacher. When we did the radio ministry, sometimes I'd have to go in and edit the message down to 30 minutes, because that's the only amount of time I had for the radio message. And sometimes I got it right there, and then sometimes I had to go cut out quite a bit and keep the main parts of the message going in the radio ministry. Praise the Lord. But I don't know. It's just sometimes when the Word of God is flowing in your heart and in your soul, and it's the message He wants me to hear. Not just you. He wants me to hear. Amen. Thursday night's message really got a hold of me. I hope it got a hold of someone else. If not, it was just for me. But just the reality of sacrifice, that delighting in sacrifice and the Spirit of God being that motivation for my life. Hallelujah. That I can be like Paul. I'm ready to be spent and be spent again and again and again, that I might win some. Hallelujah. That's not just talking about the lost. That's talking about that child of God who's wavering. And it happens. Amen. All right, let's move on with today's message. Enough for reminiscing here this morning. Psalm chapter 73, verse number 1 says, "Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as of are a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone, and my steps had well nigh slipped." Here's the reason why. "For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." Amen. Father in heaven, we praise your mighty name, and we thank you for your holy word. We thank you for the Spirit of God that is in this place this morning. And we ask you, Lord, let your anointing flow, Lord God, upon the speaker and upon the hearer this morning. We give you praise, Lord, from the depths of our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated again this morning. In Galatians chapter 1, verse number 9, Paul's writing to the church. How many realize this morning that the majority of the New Testament is written to the church? To the church. He said in Galatians 1 and 9, "As we said before, so say I now again." So I'm not the only one that repeats myself. Amen. "If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed." Wow. You know, that's a pretty bold statement. You see, because it's far, far worse to have been enlightened and then walk in darkness than it is to have walked in darkness and become enlightened. See, those that walk in darkness, they haven't had opportunity for light. But those that have had light and then choose to walk in darkness, that's dangerous, dangerous territory. Very dangerous territory. And that's why Paul said, let him be accursed. Those that would lead men away from Jesus Christ, you would think, well, who in the world would do something like that? They're out there. They're out there. And so I want to preach this morning on a title, Slippery When Wet. How many's ever stepped in water and it became like ice? Yeah. Been walking around the edge of a pond with a fishing pole and a tackle box, and all of a sudden walk into an area that was actually a little bit more wet and slimy than you anticipated, and you lose your footing. Walking by a river, jumping from rock to rock, you know, and it's slippery when wet. How many's ever been driving down the highway right after it just started raining and applied your brakes real quick and you hydroplane, slippery when wet? I want to preach this morning on the reality of a watered-down gospel. A watered-down gospel. An error of time. And Brother Dathan Tucker preached a tremendous message in youth rally Friday night. And it was just a timely message. And some may have thought, well, this is kind of out of character. Not out of character, but may out of place. But it wasn't out of place. It was right on target because of the hour that we live in. And he preached about Shammah and Shammah standing his ground. In the midst of the face of the enemy, while everybody else in his family and in the children of Israel just ran. But Shammah stood his ground. Of course, Shammah was one of the mighty warriors of David. And that was one of the reasons why he became one of the mighty warriors of David. Is because he did not quit, did not give up, but he would stand for what was right. And that was the intent of his message. And he began to share about all the cultural problems that are going on in our world today, in our society today, that our young people are facing. And trying to encourage them to rise up and face them head on with the truths of the kingdom of God. Don't bow to peer pressure, but stand up for what's right according to God's word. Not to the vain philosophies of the hour we live in. Not to the vain philosophies of the church world. But thus saith the Lord, the word of God. We've got to stand in these last days. But it's going to be hard to stand when things get slippery because they're getting watered down. In Psalm 73, where we took our text from this morning, and we kind of see it in these first few verses, truly God is good to Israel, even to such that are a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone, and my steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. And verse number 4 says, for there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. As I'm reading this, my mind wonders, why in the world was he envious of this? But yet, for some strange reason, he began to think what they were doing was better than what he had been doing. He began to think that, look, they've got boldness in what they believe. They've got boldness in how they live. It doesn't seem like any judgment is falling on them. Maybe there's something to what they're saying and what they're teaching and what they're telling me. For him to become envious of it, he had to be near it. He had to see it. He had to be engaged by it. Amen. But notice that his terminology, his feet were almost gone. Praise God. You see, we're living in an hour where everything is going to be shaken. How many remember that Jesus told Peter right before he was to be tested? He said, Satan desires to sift you. He desires to have you. He said, but I have prayed for you. Aren't you thankful this morning that we have an intercessor still yet? For every one of us have an adversary. Every one of us are in a warfare. And sometimes we lose sight that we're in a warfare. Sometimes we're just enjoying the presence of God. We're enjoying the blessings of God. We're enjoying all the good things God is doing because God is a good God. And sometimes it evades our mind frame. We're in a warfare here. And a lot of times while we're rejoicing, the enemy is undermining. Because we're not really wise to his tactics. Because we are actually more occupied with the blessings of God than we are the attack of the enemy. And don't misunderstand me. It's not wrong to be heavenly minded. You want to be heavenly minded. But this is where it's so important to have the Spirit of God that he can bring that check. He can bring that information. He can bring that reality. The enemy has arrived. The enemy is on the scene. Hallelujah. It's just the Spirit of God and that gift of discernment. Have you ever read in the Bible where Satan can masquerade himself as an angel of light? See, we've got to be wise to the tactics of the enemy. And you've got to be so wise and have that discernment to realize when someone begins to try to undermine truths of the kingdom of God. That should be your red flag. This is the enemy. No matter how pretty she may be, no matter how handsome he may be, no matter how of a great co-worker they may be, the enemy comes in all shapes, size, forms, and shows up in the strangest places. No matter how long they may have been a Christian, wise to the tactics of the enemy to pull me away from the gospel of Jesus Christ, to pull me away from the truths of the kingdom of God. He doesn't care how small it is, because all things start small. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. And so we see then that watered down gospel. We are living in the age, the hour, the coming of the Lord. And I've just got to throw this in here for information this morning. Sister Pepper was sharing this with me. And it was posted by Sister Wright on Facebook about Israel. And they have built an altar that they are planning on putting in the third temple. They've already built it. They've already sanctified it. They've got it all ready. It's on their mind. It's in their plans to build that third temple. They're already getting ready for it. They're getting all the things, the altar and all those other things that go with the sacrifice in that third temple. And they're doing that. They're getting that ready. Wow. What's that mean to you? I'm not looking for the tribulation. I'm looking for the coming of the Lord. I'm looking for the sounding of a trumpet. We're that close, church. We're that close to the coming of the Lord. And it's no time to slip. It's no time to fall away. It's no time to begin to wonder and worry whether I'm living right or whether I can not live so tight and go to heaven. No, it's time to live as close to the Lord as you could possibly ever live, because he's about to return. The trumpet's about to sound, and those that are ready and looking for his return are the ones that are going, not the ones that are hoping they'll be ready when it does sound. If you're hoping you'll be ready when it does sound, you won't. But if you're planning on being ready when it does sound, you will. Amen. It's all a matter of your choice, your decision, being wise to the tactics of the enemy, and realize we're living in a dangerous, deadly hour in the church world. It's very sickening, very pathetic, very grieving of what's going on in the quote-unquote church world today. When denominations ordain homosexuals as pastors, it's evil. It's evil. It's diabolical. It's the spirit of the Antichrist. Now, if that offends you, then you're on wet ground and you're slipping. Because that means you've been influenced by the worldly church. Means you've been influenced by lying spirits and doctrines of devils. Because the Bible is very plain. Homosexuality is an abomination in the sight of God. It is an outright slap in God's face when Genesis tells us he created them male and female. And when we say, I wasn't born that way, that's not true. That's a lie. You were influenced away from truth somewhere in your life. Now it's time to be influenced back to truth. If you're letting that be okay. You see, it's not okay. It's not right. It's not a hate crime to preach truth. We may fall under that persecution before that trumpet sounds, but then we'll just fall under that persecution. Because truth is truth, no matter who likes it or doesn't like it. And we're called to uphold truth, and we're called to live truth, and we're called to stand like Shammah did. Amen. Hallelujah. It was a tremendous youth rally. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 1, once again, Paul, writer of the majority of the New Testament, says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Now, I want you to understand this right up front. He's not talking about sinners. He's talking about church people. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection," that's homosexuality, "truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors," that means they're not going to stand for truth, "heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness." This is how we know he's not talking about a sinful world that has been raised in darkness. It's talking about somebody who has a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. In other words, here's wisdom being shared with us to the reality is there's going to be people of the quote-unquote Christian persuasion that are going to lead people away from the truths of Jesus Christ and the power thereof that transforms the life and brings holy living and godly living and righteous living. But there's going to be those that are promoters of living however you want to live. And God still loves you. See, there's a partial truth in that statement. God still loves you. But then there's another truth that they don't want to share. God is not mocked. "Whatsoever you sow, that shall ye also reap." And you don't have to go very far and you start finding what you reap when you live the selfish sinner life while claiming to be a Christian. You see, when Jesus Christ comes in, he creates a new creature. But if we don't allow that new creature nourishment, if we don't allow that new creature room to grow, if we don't allow that new creature to begin to rule and reign, the old nature will take over. It will. And so we see then, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Once again, knowledge, revelation. You see, you come to the knowledge of the truth in revelation. Face to face with Jesus Christ, you come to the knowledge of truth. And truth begins to transform our lives. "Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith." What do we got going on here in Paul's day and Paul's hour? We've got those that have risen up among the Christian ranks, and they are leading men and women astray from Jesus Christ and the power of a holy, righteous life in Christ Jesus. You see, that is the watered-down gospel. The watered-down gospel comes in many forms, but this is one thing that you will always know that it's a watered-down gospel is when they are allowing you to call the shots. When they are allowing you to decide how you want to live. And they're allowing you to know what's truth and what's not truth instead of righteously proclaiming truth from the Word of God under the anointing of the Holy Ghost of God. You see, anytime somebody starts allowing you to decide what is truth, mark it down, be wise, they're a deceiver. They're a deceiver. Because God has called his pastors, his teachers, his evangelists to proclaim the truth to the children of God and to the lost. Hallelujah. He's always going to have his men. He's always going to have his church. But that doesn't mean the watered down church is not going to be out there. Hallelujah. So it does make a difference who you listen to, and you've got to beware who you listen to. I'm just going to throw this in here this morning, because there are some big names in Pentecostal realms that have condoned and not spoken out against homosexuality. And they're big names that have been quoted from and preached from for many years. But yet no one discerned that they shouldn't have been listening to that name in the first place because of his doctrines that he believed and his lifestyle that he lived. And then they throw up that, well, you know, don't judge. You can't judge. Why not? Paul said, if you would judge yourselves, you wouldn't be having the problems you're having. When the Bible says, judge not lest ye be judged, it's not talking about wisdom. It's not talking about righteous judgment and discernment. It's talking about criticalness. In other words, criticizing others when you have great room to be criticized. See, we all do that from time to time. We criticize one another, and we condemn one another because certain actions that we see that we don't think is right, and yet we can't see. And that's why Jesus said, you see that small splinter in somebody's eye, and you don't even see the beam in your own eye. That's what he's talking about, criticalness. Not talking about judgment and discernment, because the Bible plainly, and Paul's telling us right here, watch these guys. Look out for these guys. They're coming your way because you have an adversary, the enemy, and these are some of the workers that he's got. They're coming as wolves in sheep's clothing, because they're not desirous to lift up Jesus Christ and promote the gospel of Christ that brings transformation. They're trying to get a crowd, a following. As Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. Does anyone remember the story of Moses when he first came into Egypt? And Moses threw down his rod and it turned into a snake. And Jannes and Jambres threw down theirs. That's who it's talking about. The magicians. And theirs turned into snakes too. Did that ever astound you? Did that ever kind of challenge you? Wow. They had something going on too. But do you remember the rest of the story? How that Moses ate up theirs and then turned back into the rod when Moses picked it up. You see, Satan has lying wonders. He's going to have great lying wonders in the time of tribulation. He's coming with flatteries. Look out for people that flatter you. He's coming with flatteries. In other words, he's going to be everybody's person. That's whatever you want, whatever you need. We got them in pulpits all across America. Whatever you want, whatever you need, however you want it, however you want to live, just know Jesus loves you. Yes, Jesus, once again, there's a partial truth there. Did you know that most fallacy rides in on the back of truth? And that's why you got to know all the truth. And that's why you got to be found in the Word of God. And that's why you got to be found in the presence of God. And that's why you must be filled with the Holy Ghost. You will find those filled with the Holy Ghost are not going to fall prey to the watered-down gospel. But you're going to find those that are not filled with the Holy Ghost scratching their head and wondering, well, now, wait a minute, why are these people living this way? And it looks like everything's going all right with them and everything's going fine. That's what Psalm 73 is talking about. But notice what it said in Psalm 73, truly God is good to Israel and even such as are of a clean heart. A clean heart is a heart that's right, a heart that's fixed, a heart that's in that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, a heart that is surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. But you see, when you begin to start looking and allowing the influence of deceivers to have more sway on your way of thinking than God's Word does, you're on slippery ground. Your feet are slipping. It's because you're under attack. Doesn't mean the Lord has forsaken. It doesn't mean the Lord is judging. It just means the adversary of your soul is actively after you. He is actively after you because you have given ear to the seducers. You've given ear to the false teachers. You've given ear to those who would say, you don't have to live that way anymore. You see, it's not a matter, and Sister Lindsay kind of covered it, it's not a matter I have to do anything. It's kind of like the one individual that's kind of defending his faith. And they were continually saying, well, you have to do this, and you have to do that, and you have to do this. And he said, I don't have to do anything. He said, I can drink all the beer I want to drink. I can drink it whenever I want to drink it. How I want to drink, I can drink all I want to drink. Still be right with God. Man, that took him back. What do you mean? I thought you were, you see, because he was, you know, trying to really trip him. I thought you were a Christian. Don't you know drinking's wrong? So you don't understand. I drink all I want to drink because I don't want to drink any. Woo. Yeah, hallelujah. See, it's a matter of the want to. I don't want to live the way the world lives. I don't want to be caught up in their lies and in their deceit. But I want to live with Jesus Christ in my heart, in my mind, in my soul. I want to live with Jesus Christ ruling and reigning. I want to live in the presence of the Lord. I want to be full of the Holy Ghost of God. Hallelujah. I want to be in that personal relationship with the Lord, not just that knowledgeable relationship with the Lord. I want that revelation of Jesus Christ alive and well in my heart and my soul. In Matthew 28 and 18, the true gospel of Jesus Christ. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So, the commission of the apostles was to take Jesus Christ, crucified, dead, buried, rose the third day, all power in heaven and in earth, power to transform lives to the lost and dying world, to build the church, to bring men and women into the kingdom of God. And so we find, and here's just a little statement that I've wrote down here. You know, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, teach us of Jesus Christ and his life and the words that he said. But the epistles teach us of the life that we find in Jesus Christ. Amen. See, it's one thing to know about him, and it's another thing to be in him. Hallelujah. And so that's why we have the gospel, so we can come to the knowledge of who he is and to know him and call on him for our salvation and call on him to be born again by the Spirit of God and call on him to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And then we have the epistles for instruction. How to live my life, how to walk with him, how to know him and the power of his resurrection. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Luke 24 and 46, it says, and he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Beware, because if people don't want to talk about repentance, they're not really preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am thoroughly 100% persuaded, come as you are, I encounter individuals say, well, I don't have anything to wear to church. I tell them, come as you are. Come as you are. Well, you know, I don't really do some things right. I said, that don't make any difference. Come as you are. Come ahead. But when we come to Jesus Christ, he doesn't want us to stay the same as we came. You see, when I met Jesus Christ, I didn't stay the same. I was different. I changed. He changed me on the inside. He changed me. Hallelujah. I came lost. I came full of pride. I came full of religiosity. But when I met him, I left humbled. I left saved. And I left changed. Hallelujah. And that's how I like to leave the house of God every time I come. Praise God. I want to leave humbled. I want to leave saved. And I want to leave changed. Hallelujah. As God has his way in my heart and in my life, as I press towards the prize, the high calling of our God. You see, it's all through the scriptures. And I'm going to read a few scriptures here, and then I'm going to close this morning. In John chapter 1, one of my favorite portions of scripture, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Praise our God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Praise our God. My breath came from God. Came from Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Because he created all things. He created the atmosphere that we breathe. He created these bodies to breathe this atmosphere. And to my knowledge, I got up this morning was breathing fine. Hallelujah. And I just kept on moving towards the house of God. And I'm still breathing. I've still got air in my lungs. And it belongs to God. And I'm wanting to use it for him. Hallelujah. As I'm preaching here this morning. Because in Jesus Christ is life. We preached on this recently, and that life is the light of men. To let your light shine, you got to have life, not just knowledge. It's got to be revelation time. Amen. It's got to be life in you that your light will shine before men. It's not a matter of just words to say. It's a matter of what's transpired in you and in your life that you can share that with other people. In John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. We have no access to heaven except by Jesus Christ, his finished work on Calvary. Hallelujah. Our prayers are only heard because of him. Because of the blood of Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. He's promised to hear the cry of the righteous, but the only reason I'm righteous is because of him. It's because of him. See, it all points back to Jesus Christ on a continual basis. He's the way, he's the truth, he's the life. Amen. When men and women are not pointed to Jesus Christ to enter into that new covenant with Jesus Christ and that relationship with Jesus Christ, then it is not the true gospel. If it is only promoting, says, well, come to Jesus. He can do this for you, and he can do this for you, and he can do this for you, and he can do this for you. In other words, if their emphasis is always on what you can get from God, instead of the emphasis on giving yourself to God, no, it's not the true gospel. And don't misunderstand me. God wants to bless. God wants to hear your cry. He wants to minister to your needs. We've already said that here this morning. But if the emphasis is always on getting something from God instead of giving yourself to God, it's not right. It's not right. They're leading men and women astray. Jesus told the Pharisees they were doing the same thing. I mean, they were going to different areas of the country and bringing people into the Pharisee way and the Sadducee way. And he said, you're making them a curse like you are. You're going out there and proselyting them, but you ain't helping them. You're just making them like you. And you're not doing what God wants done. And so we see just because they're putting evangelistic efforts forth, I've talked to many a missionary, and many missionaries told me, says one of the greatest hindrances is the liberal-minded church bringing their missionaries to the area, and then we can't get them saved because they've done influenced them to the fact that they don't need to be. They can live just how they want to live and be okay. You can go ahead and play your voodoo and do your voodoo and just put Jesus there with it. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Instead of calling for repentance, turning to the one true God, leaving all to follow Him. Hallelujah. The gospel of Jesus Christ. He is the only way. Luke 9:23, and He said unto them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Amen. Just giving my life. Just turn it around if you want to. I'm just going to give myself away. Going to give myself away. What does that mean? I'm giving it all to Jesus Christ. I'm letting Him direct my steps. Amen. Hebrews 2:1. Therefore we ought to give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. You ever notice that something that's slipping? Has anybody ever had the opportunity to watch like a glacier or a snowslide? Avalanche, how that it just starts sliding first, and then once it starts sliding, mudslide, same way, just starts, you can see it just moving, just sliding, and then all of a sudden it's gone. It's gone. We've got to earnestly take heed. In other words, these are terminologies where we've got to make the choice, we've got to become wise. And realize what's going on and lay hold of Jesus Christ. And not let truth slip away from us or we slip away from truth. Psalm 73:2, but as for me, my feet were almost gone and my steps had well nigh slipped. Anybody ever tripped, fell down because you weren't paying attention to where you were going? You see it happen in your Christian walk. If you're not paying attention to where you're going, if you're not paying attention to what you're doing, if you're making decisions that aren't really helping you spiritually, they're wrong decisions. Because every decision you should make should be on a spiritual plane of how this is going to help me spiritually, encourage me spiritually, keep me spiritual, keep me faithful. That's how decisions should be made. If your decisions are just made upon your own personal desires, my friend, that is not the way to walk with God. And that is the way to find yourself in dilemmas you wish you would never be in. All decisions should be based upon your spirituality, your walk with God, and following Jesus Christ, and how it's going to help you or deter you. I'm just going to throw this one right up here. Staying out of the house of God is not helping anybody spiritually. Doesn't help anybody spiritually at all. I've encountered those people that say, well, I can learn at home. Praise God. You better learn at home. Amen. You're not going to get near enough in just the few services we have at church to maintain powerful spirituality if you don't learn some things at home. But if you just stay home, you're not going to get the power-packed service of the Holy God of heaven to where He ministers to the needs you can't see by those He's put in positions to help you see them. Woo, hello. And that's why a lot of people don't want to come to the house of God on a frequent term, because when they're here, they start seeing and they start running. You see, that's why you need to be in the house of God, in the fellowship of the saints. You find that other believers are wrestling with the enemy too, battling against the enemy too. You're going to find that some people are right in the same battle you're in. Hallelujah. And you're going to find strength to the fact that they're overcoming, and so can you. Praise our God. And so we see then the house of God is a right decision to be in, to be strengthened by the power of His might and fellowship of the saints. And Paul even told us that that was going to be one of the signs of someone that was leading you astray and encouraging you to forsake the assembling of yourselves together. We're on Facebook. To my knowledge, we're not on YouTube, but we might be. I don't know. Somebody could probably put it on there. I'm not against reaching out to the lost. I'm not against those who can't come to the house of God and need spiritual nourishment. But I've never been for TV preachers. Never have. Because it's kept people out of good churches where they could get the help they really needed, instead of letting them coast along in the condition they were. I realize there's been people that's gotten saved off of a TV preacher. And I thank God for that. But if they don't encourage them to get in the house of God, to get a good church that's preaching the Word of God and preaching the truths of God, then they are making a grave mistake. I don't know about you. I mean, I watch church services. It's just not the same, though. Not when you know what it's like to be in one. Woo, hallelujah. Because I'd rather be in church than just view church. Praise God. Of course, I've just been that way all my Christian life. Hallelujah. I'd rather be in church than just sit in church. Praise God. I've always wanted to be engaged in whatever's going on. Hallelujah. If the song leader was singing, then I was singing right with him. I was singing louder than he was if I could. Amen. I'm all in. I guess maybe that is just me, but I don't think it should be just me. I mean, if you're going to be there, be all there. Hallelujah. I mean, I try to encourage the school students, same way in school, in anything you're doing. If you're at your job, if you're going to be there, be all there. Hallelujah. I mean, show them what God can do. Amen. In the heart and the life of an individual. Galatians 1:9, and as we said before, and I'm quoting this again, this is what I quoted to begin with. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than ye have received, let him be accursed. There's one important thing that I see from this scripture is the fact that somebody else is going to try to preach a different gospel to you. And Paul said if anybody preach a different gospel, what he was saying is they're preaching to you a different gospel. So be it known, you are going to encounter a different gospel. You're going to encounter persuasion of the wrong kind in a Christian realm. That's why Paul has written this. So let it be known, you are going to face persecution from church people. Hello? Anybody ever had that problem besides me? Hallelujah. You're going to face persecution sometimes from family members who don't fully understand the kingdom of God and what's transpired in your heart and how God's changed you and you're changing your life because He has changed you on the inside. They're not going to understand that. They're going to persecute you. Hey, I've been there. One of the hardest things in my entire life when my mom got mad at me when I told her I got saved. And she got mad. I'd never seen her that mad in my entire life. She got so mad at me and told me to get out of her house. Wow. That's the hardest thing I ever had to do, Larry Joshua, to walk out of my mom's house knowing she was mad at me for something God had done in me and how God had changed me. I didn't find out a few years later why she got so mad. Because I found out later that Pentecost was in our heritage on my mom's side. And she had left it behind and just went to the Lutheran church because she married my dad. And when I come in there talking about life, and I come in there talking about how God changed me, it went right down to the very core of what she knew was real. I didn't know that. So that was the hardest thing I've ever had to do, was take that persecution from my mom. Amen. My mom's gone on to heaven now. And God moved in a wonderful way. Just as He has for several of our family members. And God has been faithful to His promise to us that He's going to save them. And so far, His track record is 100%. Hallelujah. I'm trusting it's going to stay 100%. Hallelujah. Because that's just His promise to me. His promise was if I would serve Him, and if I would follow Him, and if I would be His vessel, hallelujah, then He would take care of them. Hallelujah. And so that is my promise from the Lord. Hallelujah. And I have seen it happen time and time and time again. The intervention of God in the lives of men and women, because they just ain't ready to go yet. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. I know what I'm supposed to do. I know I need to pray. I know I need to read my Bible. I know I need to be in the Word of God. I know I need to strengthen myself spiritually, but all I find myself is not doing it. It's because the flesh is our weakness, and we cater to it more than we want to admit we do. We do. Ephesians 6 and 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We're in a warfare, church. Are you living your life like you're in a war? Do you realize that your prayer, your Bible, is your ammunition to win the war? Or do we forget we're in a war and we're just going through the motions because we've been in it so long or been in it long enough where the newness has dissipated? That's why we need those times of refreshing from the presence of our God. Hallelujah. Glory. See, those that don't fully understand Pentecost, don't fully understand the power that God brings into your life, they don't fully understand how that you're still an individual, you still have a will. And that's why you see people that have been baptized in the Holy Ghost sometimes don't do right. Because just because you get baptized in the Holy Ghost is not 100% guarantee that you're going to do right. But it is 100% guarantee that you'll have more power to do right than you did before. But if you keep choosing to do wrong, hey, God could rend the mountain. And the wind could blow and the fire could fall. But if you're bent on doing your own will, you're going to do your own will no matter what God does. But God said, if you want power, then I have supplied it. If you want salvation, then there is a way. Hallelujah. You want to live holy, then you can live holy. You want to walk in truth, then that can be yours. Those are His promises, but the choice is always ours. Amen. So choose you this day who you're going to serve. You're going to serve the gods of this world? A lot of people think, well, I'd never serve the gods of this world. Well, if you're doing it your way, you're serving the gods of this world. If you're giving ear to the watered-down gospel, you're serving the gods of this world. But if you have singled out your ear only to God and His Word, then you're serving the God of heaven. Hallelujah, and you have chose who you're going to serve. You're not going to be pulled astray. You're not going to go astray. You're not going to listen to anyone that would take you away from the truths of that word. You'll love them, you'll be kind to them, and you'll preach to them. Because you'll take a stand like Shammah did. You'll stand up for your ground, because your ground is God's word. Amen. Could I have a piano player this morning, please? Amen. Slippery when wet. When you keep listening to a watered-down message, you will start sliding. And if you don't pay attention nor allow the Spirit of God to quicken truth to you, you will fall. Don't think you're strong enough to know the difference without the power of God. After all, it is the difference that makes the difference. It is the equalizer for our lives. Because not a one of us can stand against the wiles of the devil. Paul told us, put on the whole armor of God. What does that mean? That means I am going to God for my strength, for my wisdom, for my power, for my understanding, for my knowledge. In other words, Jesus Christ is now the center of my decisions. Wow. I don't know whether you realize it or not, but there are a lot of people that love Jesus Christ, but he is not the center of their decisions. And no matter how much you love Jesus, until you find yourself surrendered to him, you're not going to have what he has for you. For he has a personal directive, a personal plan. He has everything I need to fulfill my purpose of life on the face of this earth. Hallelujah. You will never find greater joy than being right in the middle of the will of God for your life. There's no greater joy. But I want to throw the other side out there to you too. Also this morning, you will find no greater misery than trying to be a Christian but not doing the will of God. Go ahead and step into that joy. Go ahead and step into that peace. Go ahead and step right into that power. Hallelujah. In that surrender to Jesus Christ to do his will, not my will. Stand with me, if you would, this Lord's Day. God of heaven, Lord, I thank you and I praise you, Lord, for your grace that you show unto us. And God of heaven, I thank you, Lord, for your word and for your truths, for the Spirit of God that continually moves and works in our hearts and our minds and our lives. God, I thank you that you are for us. You are not against us. You are here to help us, instruct us, show us thy ways, and show us our ways. Oh, God of heaven, I thank you, Lord, for your presence in this place this morning. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in my heart and in my soul, and what you're doing in the hearts and the lives of my brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. God of heaven, Lord, just work your wonderful works. Continue, Lord God, the work that you have begun in us. Lord, make us strong, holy, sanctified, set apart, ready to stand up and share your wonderful gospel, your wonderful truths, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. These altars are open here this day. Let us come find us a place to pray. Hallelujah. If you've got questions for the Lord, ask and ye shall receive. You got needs from the Lord, then seek. Ye shall find. Amen. You just want to be touched by him, then knock. The door shall be open. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, God, for your promises and your benefits.